Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. And I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed that you hung around if you've been hanging around with us, because Robert McTeer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We first met him when he was during his very successful and long tenure with the Federal Reserve. He was the president of the Dallas Fed Bank and a member of an organization, a committee, the Federal Open Market Committee, a job that I consider to be one of the most important jobs on planet Earth. And he was a member of that committee, and that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about. After leaving the Fed, after decades of experience and a great tenure there, he became the chancellor of the Texas A&M University System, and he was there for a couple of years. Now he is distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis. You all know who the NCPA is. We got a lot of friends over there, and including Pete DuPont. But he's with us now, back again after being gone for a couple of years. Bob McTeer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And we missed you.
Well, thank you.
It's always good to be missed, isn't it?
Yeah, feels good.
Bob, one of the things I want to talk about first is what's going on right now in the economy. And as we all know, the economy, the U.S. economy, the world economy is doing great. The U.S. economy is slowing down just a little bit. Part of the problem is the subprime issue where the mortgage industry loaned money to people who shouldn't have received the money that they got. They didn't qualify for the houses that they bought. They didn't really qualify for the mortgages that they were given, or that the loans that they were given for those mortgages. And so now the chickens have come home to roost, and we've got some challenges. And a lot of people made a lot of money, and now some of those investments are at risk, and they're whining, basically, Bob. They're clamoring. They're having little fits of desperation, looking to the Fed to bail them out right now. It's at least that's the way it seems. What do you think?
Well, that is the way it seems, and what you say is true. The problem is there are some innocent bystanders getting caught up in the problem. So not all of the pain is being felt by people who you might say deserve to feel pain.
Right. Well, who are those innocent people?
Yeah. There are people that had nothing to do with this that are getting hurt. See, what happened, if you give me a second on this,
sure,
largely, is that it used to be that a bank would give you make a mortgage, and then they'd hold it until you paid it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that all changed. They started making mortgages and then selling them, and
securitized.
Mortgages have been made by mortgage companies that basically aren't regulated. They've been selling them, and then people started bundling these mortgages up and using them as collateral for mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
And then people all over the world have invested in these securities that suddenly are suspect. So a lot of people's portfolio have something in it that they don't know quite what's there. It's They don't know whether it's good or bad, so a lot of counterparties are reluctant to trade with them. They're afraid they'll end up with some of this toxic stuff. So the credit markets are basically dysfunctional right now. The appetite for risk, which not long ago was great, you know, there wasn't much difference in the rate you had to pay if you were a bad risk than the one you paid if you were a good risk.
Right.
That's changing rapidly now, and the market's repricing risk. And in the process, money's just not flowing through the system real well.
Well, I know you've read the book, Charles McKay's book from 1848, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. where he talks about the Tulipomania, the South Sea Bubble, and the Mississippi Scheme. And we didn't apparently learn very much from those historic events that go back, you know, 200, 300, 400 years ago. We didn't learn much in the late 1990s with the dot-com situation, and apparently we didn't learn very much about that. We didn't go back and read that book before we started all these subprime lending, did we?
We always say, well, this is different, and we've always got a rationale why it's different. And but you're right; it keeps repeating itself.
Well, and of course, the one thing that keeps happening, and this is what brings the chickens home to roost, ladies and gentlemen. Regardless of what people think or the way they might behave, the laws of economics have never been suspended. They might go in dormant for a year or two, but they always come back, and sometimes, as we have right now, with a vengeance. We're going to be right back with Robert McTeer, distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, and our good friend, 28 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
After you've had it, you're in an awful fix.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust members. And our blog is there. We update that every weekday. Our newsletter is there. You can subscribe to it, and we'll send it to you by email every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Lots of good stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. AskJim.biz is our knowledge base. That's the second website. And that's where it works like a search engine, folks. But you go there, ask it a question. We've anticipated your question, and we provided answers that are already there waiting on you. So use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. Either one of our sites have free access. Thanks to our corporate partners. We appreciate them very much and hope you do too. And just come on over and hang out with us, and we'll let you have what we have. And by the way, don't forget our show. The archives of our show, all the different interviews we do, are podcastable. So check that out and use them to your advantage. Robert McTeer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob McTeer is the former member of the Federal Reserve, president of the Dallas Fed Bank, the member of the Federal Open Market Committee. Remember, folks, those of you who have been listening, remember he's the guy a few years ago who taught us what happens. He explained to us what happens in a Federal Open Market Committee meeting, and that was just fascinating to me. Bob, I still think about when you explained that to me, and of course, you know, me not having a life, that, you know, I enjoy stuff like that. Maybe everybody else doesn't, but I'm fascinated by the Fed. I've been a Fed watcher for a long time. And right now, it's very fascinating to see what's happening. If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but Robert Nobek says Republicans were put on Earth to lower taxes, and the Federal Reserve was put on Earth to hold inflation in check. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that they wake up every morning. They don't wake up every morning and saying, does the stock market call? Do they need our help? They wake up and say, the Fed wakes up and says, how's inflation? What do we got to do today to control inflation? And maybe ninth or tenth down on their list is, you know, how are the subprime lenders doing? Right?
Right. What basically the way they view it is that what's going on in the financial markets is relevant to the extent that it threatens the real economy. But as long as it's just separate, they try to let the markets work without interfering.
Have you ever seen a time when Wall Street was whining and groveling for a rate cut the way they are right now?
It seems like that it's higher than ever, but I wonder sometimes if it's just because I have more time to keep these financial news shows on. I basically keep them on as background noise all day, so
yeah,
I may be hearing it more.
Well, but no, I think it is more, and of course, today the financial markets are basically saying that they've built in a rate decrease in the next Fed meeting, which will happen a week after next. Now, Bob, I will tell you, just to give you the full disclosure, in my predictions, my annual predictions that I make at the beginning of the year, I predicted the Fed would cut rates 0.25 point in the third quarter.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think you've got a good chance of being right, because the markets are so sure that's going to happen. that if it doesn't happen, there probably will be hell to pay. Now, they won't do it just because of that, but I think that what's been going on in the housing market, which is not over by any means, is sufficiently threatening to the economy that they'll probably do a token quarter percent on September 18th.
Do you think a quarter percent is it's really more emotional than impactful, isn't it?
One quarter percent doesn't really amount to anything, but it would avoid this this terrible reaction if you got nothing, I think.
Well, isn't this a situation where it's sort of like when your kids throw a little tantrum, you know, they work themselves into a frenzy, and they get out of control, and if you give them the lollipop that they want, basically, you know, you've given in to them. I mean,
well,
this is...
you're describing moral hazard.
Moral hazard, exactly.
Uh-huh. I did a op-ed piece on that a few weeks ago, and that's one of the examples I use. You say, you know, you got to clean your plate, or you're not going to the movies tonight. And he keeps whining, and you say, oh, well, just this one time,
right,
from now on, you got to clean your plate or you aren't going to the movies. So that's the reason they're so reluctant to give in to what the markets wants right now, because they know it sets precedent.
Now, there's a coincidence happening, I think, about to happen. And by the way, the Fed meets a week from next Tuesday on the 18th. And Bob, the coincidence, I think, is that inflation seems to be doing not so badly. It seems to be maybe even trending just a little bit downward. And so if inflation doesn't spike between now and the 18th, they probably are going to get the cut. I agree with you. But wouldn't it be interesting if some new information came out, maybe the jobs market, the jobs report that's coming out today, I don't know what it's going to say. But let's say that they get some troubling news about inflation between now and the 18th, and they stick to their guns. That could be kind of dangerous, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the jobs report probably came out about 15 minutes ago, and there is a chance that it's not going to look good, because the day or two ago they had a revision in productivity and they revised it up recently. And in the short run, you know, employment growth and productivity growth are sort of substitutes for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses can expand by having productivity improvements or by adding to the labor force. And so it's conceivable that job growth is starting to slow down. It's been kind of a mystery why the employment has held up as well as it has as the economy has slowed.
Well, it's not a mystery to me, Bob, because I know those jobs are being created by small business owners, and you know they're the Trojans out there doing the heavy lifting when it comes to jobs. Tim Till, right back. When we come back, I'm going to get Bob to talk to us about the economy. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. I know you're glad you did, because we've been having a great visit with our good friend Robert McTeer. Bob is a distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, former chancellor at Texas A&M University System, and former to that president and CEO of Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, which included the assignment of being a member, one of 19 members of the Federal Open Market Committee, one of the most important groups of people on planet Earth, especially from the standpoint from an economic standpoint. Bob, we got a lot more to talk about, and I'm glad you're aware we've got access to you again, and hopefully we'll get you back on the show on a regular basis in the future. Thank you for your time today. Before we go any further, I want to get your thoughts on the economy in a minute. But before we go any further, I want to make sure people know how they can find you. Your website is bobmcteer.com, right?
That's right.
Bob McTeer, McTeer.com, bobmcteer.com.
I have a new blog. I'm a blogger now. Yeah. That's new.
When I first met you, if I told you you're going to be a blogger one of these days, you probably would have thought I was insulting you or something.
Yeah. I'd have to go look the word up first.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I think spell check still distrusts that word.
That's right. Well, are you putting any haikus up on your blog?
Yes, actually, I've got one new haiku. I can never remember the haiku. When I was at Texas A&M, I wrote three poems about Texas girls and Dr. Pepper, and one of them was a haiku. Would you like to hear a poem about Texas girls?
I'd like to. I sure would.
Okay.
Hey, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get this on CNBC, only on the Small Business Advocate Show. Am I right, Bob?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
I gave her a yellow rose I found wilting in the sand. Next morning, it stood tall in her Dr. Pepper can.
This is, you know, you just don't get this anywhere else. Folks, you got to come to the Small Business Advocate Show to get this. Bob, we're looking forward to the next IQ. Talk to us about the economy.
Well, up until recently, I've been reassuring everybody that the economy's fine and it's going to hold up through all this financial mess. But this financial mess has gone deeper, spread farther, and lasted longer than I ever dreamed. So I think the probability of a recession is creeping up towards 50.
Really?
Yeah. I don't expect it yet, but...
But isn't the broadness of the... Hasn't spreading the risk over so many people... Isn't that kind of like the way the insurance industry works?
Yeah. Here's one issue, though, Jim. For a number of years, the American consumer has been saving very little out of his income.
Yep.
And he's been doing that because his home prices, the value of his house has been going up and up.
Right.
Occasionally, he would refinance and take some money out of there and use it to spend on other things. Well, once home prices quit rising, that little source is not as likely to be tapped.
Right.
Also, so we've got a weak housing market, a weak automobile
market. But we've got more people invested in the stock market. I mean, are we taking some of the savings complaints I've heard are people who haven't taken into consideration the fact that we invest in stocks more than any other country in the world?
Well, our politicians aren't quite up to date on that either. They don't realize how many workers have 401ks.
Exactly.
Work.
Exactly.
And but you know, I felt really good the day the Dow hit 14,000, but then it went back to 13,000. And even though 13,000 was quite high, I felt very poor.
Well, you know, one of the things I think we have to take into consideration, Bob, is that with the U.S. economy, you know, around 2% or so, we think that's awful. But we got a $13 trillion economy. 2% of that is a lot of productivity. And you got Europe, which is way down the line in total dollars. They're finally, joining the global marketplace with a 2.5 or 3% growth, and other countries are too. That's good news. And isn't the world economy growing going to be a good thing for the U.S. economy?
Yes, for the first time in a long time, the U.S. isn't the engine of growth right now. The rest of the world is. And a lot of the stocks that have done well have done well because they're multinational corporations, and the weakness here has been offset by their strength abroad.
Bob McTeer, we got to wrap it up. Folks, you heard it here. Not only did you hear a Dr. Pepper Texas haiku, you don't get that anywhere else, but Bob predicted that the Fed will cut rates 0.25%. I believe that's right, Bob?
Well, it's my guess, 0.25% on the 18th.
I think you're right, and also that the economy has a 50-50 chance of going into recession. That's a new one, and we're getting back another day. Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Bob McTeer, that's bobmcteer.com, ladies and gentlemen. Check that out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.